Spring is my favorite season of the year because it's so beautiful to see the trees blooming, like the dogwoods, the cherries, the redbud trees. After a very long, emphasis on the word long, winter, when everything seems so dead and forlorn, springtime gives us hope. We see that green starting to emerge on the trees, and our hearts are happy. It gives us hope. We rejoice in that new life. Well, our Lord uses similar imagery in our gospel passage today. He says that the Father is the vine grower, Jesus is the vine. And from that vine, we're the branches, and we're called to bear fruit. So our Lord then uses this beautiful image to really talk about the life of grace. We hear about grace. Simply defined, grace is a supernatural gift from God for sanctification, to make us holy, and salvation, to bring us into union with God. This life of grace begins at our baptism. There at baptism, yes, original sin is washed away, and for an adult, any other sin, but sanctifying grace is infused into our soul. God dwells in our soul. There's this indwelling presence of the life and love of the Holy Trinity. Through baptism, we are then truly recreated, reborn as a child of God. We are incorporated into the body of the church. The graces that our Lord has offered through his passion, death, and resurrection are open to us. So we can imagine, going back to the image of the gospel, that there's Christ, the vine, and we're like that new bud at baptism. And with that life of grace that comes from him through the Holy Spirit, we emerge as that branch, and we continue to grow and hopefully bear fruit. Another way that I like to look at this idea of grace is by thinking of CPR. Now, back when I was trained as a lifeguard, not just too long ago, but when I was trained as a lifeguard in college, that we learned CPR. So if somebody had a heart attack, let's say, or even was drowned and so on, that you can breathe into that person, do the chest compressions, and hopefully the heart starts again and the person starts breathing. That's like baptism, that God is breathing his life into us. Isn't that beautiful? This grace is like God breathing into us. Now, this grace, the sanctifying grace, this indwelling presence of the Holy Trinity, has to be strengthened and nourished. This is why our Lord instituted sacraments, these seven signs that give us grace. We have these seven sacraments. So we mentioned baptism, but Holy Communion, the Eucharist, brings us intimately in the life of the Lord. Penance heals our soul, forgives sin, strengthens us against further sin. Confirmation fills us with the graces of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we are older and are called to a vocation, such as marriage, those graces give a couple that special love so that they can live their vows faithfully, permanently, and with a self-giving kind of love. For ordination, a man is given graces to be a priest. At the end of our life, or whenever we need help physically, then we have the anointing of the sick. There, the graces bring healing, peace of soul, even preparing us to pass from this life to another life, God willing, in heaven. Beautiful graces. Sometimes I wonder, you know, why seven sacraments? Well, I think back to Genesis. So God unfolded creation over 7 days. Well, we have seven sacraments that from the beginning of our life to the end of our life, God is nourishing this sanctifying grace that began at baptism and assisting us with other graces to live a life in union with him. We could also remember that seven for the Jews was a perfect number and another number of the covenant. So to live a grace-filled life is to live that bond of covenant love, of life and love with God. We also have the actual graces, the graces that help us act. So these graces enlighten the mind, strengthen the will to do good, avoid evil. All of us have faced times of doubt or temptation or confusion. We pray, and all of a sudden, at least in my own experience, sometimes it just clicks, or sometimes there's that strength to overcome the temptation. These graces, though, all these abundant graces, keep us united with Christ. With that, we can bear great fruit for Him. Think of the lives of the saints, but in particular today, we honor St. Catherine of Siena, the patron of our neighboring parish. Here she was born in the middle 1300s. She, at a very early age, started having mystical experiences, visions of our Lord, the Blessed Mother. She received the stigmata. When she was a teenager, she decided to become a Third Order Dominican, meaning she was still a laywoman, but took the vows to live like a Dominican nun. She even wore a Dominican habit. She visited the sick, caring especially for the worst of the worst cases, the people suffering from the plague. She visited the imprisoned, especially those who had been condemned to death and were awaiting execution. Through her prayers, her example, many of those people converted. She sought peace among city-states, even going to the Holy Father. At this time, the popes had moved to Avignon, France, because of unrest in Italy. She went to Pope Gregory the 11th and said, "You offend God, and you need to come back to Rome." Well, he listened to her. So here was this great saint who bore such fruit during the 33 years of her life for the Lord. Same is should be true for us. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, we live the life of grace. But we have to also be on guard. Our Lord warns about the dead wood, and the dead wood being cut off and thrown out. So we have to be on guard against venial sin that weakens the grace, mortal sin that kills that sanctifying grace. So going back to the imagery of the vines, we could face different problems that would attack this grace. I don't know much about grape growing, but I do roses. And there's three things that one has to worry about growing roses: pests, diseases, and what's called dieback. So we have to be on guard against the pests that would rob us of grace. These are the people that would tempt us when we think of the young people to lie, cheat, steal, take alcohol, do the drugs, get into sexual troubles, and so on. Yes, the pests are around. They might not even overtly tempt, but they tempt by their example. If we hang around with people who use bad language, how easy it is for us to start using bad language. If we hang around with people that are malicious in their speech, we can easily fall right into it. We have to be on guard against such pests. Sometimes the pests, too, are things. Think of the cell phone. Now, statistics say that every day the average American spends 9.5 hours on electronics. Well, is that thing constantly interrupting our life, taking us away from time with God, time with our loved ones, taking us away from what's really important? We have to be on guard against the pests. Same thing with the diseases. We all have our weaknesses. We have to be mindful of those weaknesses. The little indulgence or overindulgence in something like alcohol can lead to periodic drunkenness, leads to perhaps even the addiction of alcoholism. It happens. We have to be mindful. People just don't have addictions that we hear so much about today. It starts with the initial choice to commit the sin. So we have to be on guard against the diseases. And then there's the dieback. Well, that's a mysterious thing in growing roses. It just happens. It attacks the canes. They start drying out, and it dies. Well, that can happen in our life, too. We could call it acedia in the spiritual life, that slothfulness, that lack of fervor, that I-don't-care attitude, like we give up praying. Instead of taking time to pray or reading scripture, we just put it off. Our soul starts drying out. Or even Mass. Many people think Mass is a secondary priority. When that happens, people stop going. Or sometimes people say, well, I get nothing out of Mass. Well, Fulton Sheen always said, what did you put into it? If we aren't going to participate, if we aren't going to try to stay focused, if we aren't going to receive the Eucharist like it is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, if we're going to leave early when we think we are finished with God, we're going to dry out. And that dried out soul then just gives up. And what happens when those diseases and the pests and the dryness, that dry rot, dead dry out, comes into our lives? We wither up. And eventually, we lose touch with God. And then we're good for nothing except being cut off and cast into the fire. But there is hope, because in our first passage, we heard of a man named Saul. Saul became the Paul, the great Saint Paul, who evangelized. And so many saints, because of grace, changed their whole lives. Think of Saint Ignatius Loyola, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint Augustine. Yes, there's always hope. God's grace is there, but we have to open our hearts. So we oftentimes sing that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, which is one of my favorites. It was written by John Newton in the early 1800s. He lived in the 1700s, but he had lost his faith when he was a child after his mom died, became involved in the slave trade, became a slave trader, became an alcoholic, and hit rock bottom. And then the grace of God finally cracked that heart, and he changed his life. And he wrote that beautiful hymn we call Amazing Grace. But it's a miraculous grace. The challenge for us is, let us keep in touch with our Lord. Open our hearts to his grace and see the miracles in our own lives. Then one day, truly, we can be the saint that he wants us to be. May God bless you.